Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review.
The Agenda.
Later, Whakamana users not so lazy after all. Soon, John Banks' love child, but now baby boomer's pissed massive tunnel.
The Waterview Connection Tunnel project is formally open, but drivers won't be able to use the tunnel until early July. I'm not sure why that is. Tens of thousands of people attended the Sunday morning opening, after which 42,000 walkers will travel through the tunnel. However, some walkers were disappointed to find...
because they were baby boomers.
To find they could only travel partway through the tunnel before being directed to take a fire exit and taken, returned where they came from through the other tunnel. The tunnel will be New Zealand's longest at 2.5 km. I watched it on the news and holy crap, could you get more baby boomers in a tunnel?
Yeah, and of course if you're a baby boomer, you're in the tunnel and you're looking for something to complain about, you go, well, first they'll be mumbling about taxpayers' money being spent on this and whether they need it at all. But then as soon as they got sent out the tunnel, they'd have been so happy to have something to complain about. And they all just came piling out of the fire exit, just complaining and complaining about not getting to go right through, and they would have loved that.
Well, I think they missed it. They missed an opportunity to set some kind of Guinness World Record for the most baby boomers in a tunnel at any given time. It looked to me, there were children as well. There were baby boomers and a few kids sprinkled in. And great story on the news last night. And they said, the person obviously said, reporter, the question must mean, what's so good about a tunnel? And it was a great question, because what is so good about a tunnel? Really, it's hard to say. But people love tunnels.
I love a tunnel.
People love tunnels, but why? Why do they love tunnels? And these kids were like, because it's long and dark. And that was about all they could really. They all said the same thing.
But when you're on a train, you love a tunnel. Yeah, the best part of any train journey is on a tunnel.
It's a tunnel, because it's different, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not the other thing.
What's your favourite New Zealand tunnel?
Look, I've not got a lot of experience with
it.
I like the Homer Tunnel.
Oh, yeah?
I think the Homer Tunnel's quite a good tunnel. You come out, all of a sudden you're in beautiful Fiordland. When you come through the thing, next thing you know, you're in Milford Sound. It's quite a cool opening up.
And an amazing piece of industrial engineering.
That's
or whatever.
Right. A lot of people died making that
tunnel. Yeah, heaps of people died.
Not as many people dying making tunnels anymore.
Well, no one died making the Waterview Tunnel,
amazing.
Did they?
Amazing.
No one.
Well, because they had that special tunnel machine that went through that had a woman's name.
Was it Alice?
Yeah, I think it's Alice. Yeah.
Alice.
Yeah, she uses diamonds, doesn't she?
Yeah, as long as you stand behind Alice, you're fine. Get in front of Alice and you are
rooted.
Holy
crap, Alice would do some serious damage to you.
But there you go. Baby boomers pested a massive tunnel and Team New Zealand won another race. 4 in a row, 3 up now.
The Agenda.
Later on, we take a look at John Banks' love child, alleged love child, that is. Soon, baby boomers pissed a new tunnel, but now Whakamana users not so lazy after all.
The cannabis users are more likely to have full-time jobs and be satisfied with their lives, a new study's found. They surveyed more than 2,000 people in Colorado and California, where recreational use is legal, including 600 smokers. 64% of consumers had full-time jobs and were more likely to enjoy the outdoors, with a further 20% reporting having a master's degree. Spokeswoman Linda Gilbert said, in fact, positive lifestyle indicators like volunteering, socialising, satisfaction with life and enjoyment of exercise and outdoors are the highest among cannabis consumers, certainly in Colorado and California anyway.
Wow, interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very, very interesting, because, of course, the received understanding is that stoners just sit around on the couch playing video games and watching infomercials.
Yeah.
You know? Which I know a lot of people like that. I know a lot of people like that, but they're going to work. So they work all day and then they get home and they get stoned and you know, watch sport or play video games.
But also, is it an age thing? Because, you know, when I was growing up, that was definitely the case. You know, you'd sit around and that's kind of what you did, because that's what you do in your early 20s.
Yeah.
But then as you get a little bit older, you start to do other things and that's probably, you realise that you can't be doing that all the time. And so you get out and about. You get out in the outdoors, because you've got to get out in the outdoors.
You want more things to see. Yeah. Steve Jobs would never hire anyone, he said early on, he was very suspicious of people that hadn't had an acid trip, and hugely suspicious of people that had never smoked marijuana. Because he's like, he goes, aren't you curious enough to try it? Like, why haven't you even tried it once? He was so shocked about it, because he was a massive stoner. There's a great story when he was younger and he was starting Apple, he, in his house, In his flat, he built this acid-taking room that he spent most of his time building that with a little tunnel through it with all these lights and funny things in it that he'd take acid and go and sit in and think about.
Is that right?
So he believes strongly in weed smokers in the hiring.
Well, he's a visionary, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is a visionary.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, The Hodaki Breakfast.
In light of a survey finding out that cannabis users are more likely to have full-time jobs and be satisfied with their lives and do work for charity than non-Whakamana smokers, we're running the good or bad jobs to be on Whakamana's quiz.
Here's Jake from Hodaki. Morning, Jake.
G'day, boys.
Okay, Jake, we're going to name a job. You're going to tell us whether or not you think it's good to be on the Whakamana's whilst doing that job.
Hey, Jake, what's your job?
I'm a builder.
Is builder a good job to be on the Whakamana's?
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Okay. All right, but that wasn't a question. That was just a bonus question. Okay, well, let's get into it.
No, that's good. Warm me up.
Jake from Hodaki, is landscaper a good job to be on the Whakamana's on?
Of course. The reasons for that are there's a lot of creative integrity in that job, and you need to be well aware of all the different possibilities of the landscape you're doing.
Great, very succinct answer.
Right, Jake. Answer, Jake. What about a greenskeeper?
A greenkeeper?
Mm-hmm. Not a greenkeeper, yeah, a greenskeeper, yeah. Like a greenkeeper.
Of course, yeah. Well, if you think about it, if you're on the golf course and you're doing greens there, yep. You know, you've got these beautiful, long, open spaces of just the purest of green grass.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you get so bored that you need to have something else to look up to in your day.
Oh, absolutely. Morning radio DJ.
Mate, are you guys not on the Whakamana's right now?
Wow.
Well, no.
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 Well, I guess you have to say that, but, you know, yeah, if it was me, come on.
You would be.
You would be, yeah.
I'll tell you what, you start thinking, it can go one or two ways, Jake.
Yeah.
Is an auctioneer a good job to be on the Whakamana's, Jake?
Well, see, when I'm on them, I can't talk very fast. I end up just turning into a bit of a potato.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
especially if you've got hands fired up and you don't want to be making mistakes, do you? That's the problem. And also, lose track of what the price is at that particular moment.
Well, I think if I was to do it and I was at Turner's, I'd put a car from $10,000 down to $2,000, and then I'd go back up to $13,000. So
you'd be all over the show. You know, yeah. I don't think it's a good job.
Fun.
I don't think it's a
be
good
pretty
one.
Fun.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, what about is an all-black fullback under a high ball a good job to be on the Whakamana's on?
Yep, high plus high equals
okay. Interesting.
So you just got Ben Smith just you know, it's a box kick. It's just up in the air.
I thought as it goes up, you'd be thinking, oh, my God, oh my what God. Happens if I drop this?
And you'd
oh
be like,
God, there's a lot of people watching me.
And then,
oh
and then you
God.
Think about something else, and you go, oh, the ball.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the ball. And is it going to move? And the ball. And then what if I drop this? Yeah.
What about a slips fieldsman at the Whacker, Jake?
A what?
A slip fieldsman at the Whacker,
yeah.
Who's also opens the batting.
You also open
the batting as well. Yeah. And you're coming towards the end of their innings. So you're starting to think about batting. You're also having to concentrate on the ball and taking a slips catch.
Righto. In this circumstance, I think it is quite important on the type of marijuana or the type of Whakamana's.
Okay.
Yep.
Because, I don't know, in New Zealand, I don't think we are very up there in the different types and breeds, I guess.
Well, you don't know what you're going to get, whereas in California and Colorado, they tell you exactly what you get, and you can get a special slip
field.
Right. Slips fielder's blend.
You can.
That keeps you, get you zoned in.
Great for being in the slips and getting ready to bat later on against the new ball.
I'm not sure there's any Whakamana's that increase your reaction time. I think, in fact,
it might take the pain away.
Yeah, it might take the pain. Okay, Jake, that brings us to the end of the quiz. You got 5 out of 6.
It's the Fact Factor.
And here's how the Fact Factor works. I'll come up with a topic based around the news, and then Matt comes up with 3 facts on the topic. We'll judge whether they're good or bad and work out whether he has the Fact Factor. In light of a new Plymouth baker narrowly avoiding being hit by a car that ploughed through the front of his bakery, this morning I want baking facts, please. And Matt, are you ready to say the Fact Factor?
I certainly am.
Okay, what's your first baking fact?
In the 17th century, English woman made a love charm called cockle bread by pressing dough against their downstairs operation and leaving it there for a half an hour before baking it and then giving it to the object of their affection. Disgusting.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
I haven't had to think about that for a while and I just pictured it and that's absolutely disgusting.
It'll make a mess of your downstairs operation as well because dough's quite sticky, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess I've got enough flour in it. My dough's sticky, but I don't put enough flour on it.
And English women used to do it.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing, though, is you're running an inverse operation, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
So it's actually showing the inverse of actually what it would be.
Yeah. I don't think you're making a mould of it.
I mean,
you're just using...
Pushing it up against the downstairs.
They used to think about it was, the science of sympathies. But they thought one thing would always affect the other thing, you know what I mean? So if you pressed dough against your downstairs, then you were sort of somehow affecting them with your downstairs.
Mm, right, yeah.
But it's not unhygienic. Hang on, when you get... How would I say this?
It's unhygienic.
When you get pubes in it?
Well, depending on what you're running down there.
Well, back in the 17th century,
full Brazilian, wasn't it?
There was no electrolysis.
Oh,
there was no hair removal.
There was no Veet. Okay, I just would have thought. I mean, unless you're very clean. And anyway, let's move on.
I don't know why you had to take it downstairs.
Let's move on. What's your second baking fact?
Due to their similar protein composition, human blood can be used as an egg substitute in baking.
I'm still reading
it. You, Heath. That's fact.
It's a great line in that song, Egg Man by Beastie Boys. I ate the chicken, then I ate its leg. Because it's like, you thought he was going to say, then he ate his egg. Because it's Egg Man.
But he says leg.
Yeah. Just ate the chicken, then I ate its leg.
I'm invoking my right to a lifeline. 0800 Hobonaki. One caller decides if that fact was good or bad.
Can you not pronounce that so well in that thing where you say, I'm invoking my right to a lifeline?
But then I mess up the pronunciation of Hodaki, don't I? I sort of do a Jason Hoyt, both sides of the fence kind of situation.
It's been a while since we've heard from Somson from Hastings. Morning.
Good morning. How are we?
Somson from Hastings. Who's married to Dave? With the massive downstairs.
That's the gift that keeps giving, Sonson. So my fact about human blood and egg being substitute in baking because they're similar protein composition.
Sonson.
So you could make a pizza with blood instead of... you don't have egg in pizza base.
That's a shit fact, mate.
Oh, what's the language,
Sonson? Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
Sonson, it's 20 to 8.
You're saying that to Sonson.
We don't need the S word.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not a good fact. Sorry, Matt.
That's better. Really? Really?
I'm with Sonson.
What if I? If I baked you a souffle with human blood, would you not eat it?
It's just something disgusting about that. So, I mean, Sonson may have used the S word there, but the imagery around what's been happening in the last sort of 3 minutes around the fact factor
with
the...
I've never heard anything like that.
With the pressing
word.
Your dough with the downstairs and then the protein composition.
So have I lost the fact factor?
Well, you do, but you may as well come through for your third fact. Okay. What's your third baking fact?
This is the audio from Under Siege when... Under Siege 2 when... Is it Erica Eleniak? Climbs out of the cake from Baywatch. That's a much-watched moment of film for me. The idea of a woman jumping out of a cake came from an earlier trend of baking live animals into food.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
Well, that's right. They used to put like birds in things, didn't they? They put blackbirds in actual pies.
But wouldn't they flap around and destroy the pie?
No, they killed them.
No. But they were alive.
They put them in.
Yeah.
Break their wings, put them in, and then they just sort of lie around there like...
What's the advantage in that?
I think they thought it was fresh.
But you have to eat their feathers and stuff.
Yeah.
All right then.
People chucked everything in a pie. People are pretty gross, actually. Turns out people have become a lot nicer now.
What about Steve Hansen? Sonny Bill Williams, a bit like a old meat pie, isn't he? All the flies come around.
I've never heard Sonny Bill Williams described as an old meat pie. I mean, Sonny Bill Williams is the reason that Telsey started watching rugby.
With that audio.
One thing about Sonny that he does is he's like an old meat pie, isn't he? He gets all the flies and everyone else is okay.
I don't know. I wouldn't describe him as an old meat pie. You should have said Sonny Bill Williams is a bit like a massive dog turd. Would to be more accurate. All the flies come around. He's not an old meat pie. I mean, he's great. What he's saying is he attracts defenders.
What about a beautiful picnic on a warm summer's day?
That would have been better.
That makes more sense to me. Beautiful, beautiful picnic. Great scope.
This is the middle of the Matt and Jerry podcast, which
means...
No,
it's not actually, it's not the middle.
Well, close enough to the middle.
Yeah, but it's not the actual middle.
Okay. You are a certain ways through the Matt and Jerry podcast. There's still some great stuff to come, so listen to the end. And
no, the rest of it's not very good either.
Okay. All right.
So waste of time, it's a little bit here.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll just shut up then, shall I? Jesus Christ. Hey, I've got this that column in the Herald today, Jerry. It's entitled, "Is This the Most Childish Political Survey of All Time?" And New Zealand has one of the best democracies in the world, mainly because it's boring. There are issues, but they're not as life and death as other countries. We like it steady here, which is probably why our two main parties are so similar. Take National's recent Labour budget, I say in my article. As the parties jam up in the middle, voting becomes more about who we like on a superficial level rather than what the candidates stand for. Kiwis either vote for their side.
Are you just going to read out your whole article?
Yeah, because it's always been their side or choose politicians. Anyway, the upshot is I played some footage. My kids don't know anything about politics, obviously, because they're primary school kids. So I played them YouTube clips of all the main politicians, and got their opinion.
And what were the results?
Wow, amazing. Amazing results. For example, this is what my kids said about Bill English when I played him some video. Barry Seven said, "Isn't he the Prime Minister?" And then Charlie said, "Didn't he make a spaghetti pizza on Facebook?"
Okay.
And then Barry said, "Why did the Prime Minister make a pizza? Doesn't he have someone to do that for him?" And then Charlie said, "I would if I was Prime Minister." Then Barry said it looked yummy and they gave him a favourability rating at a 9 out of 10, just mainly around the pizza.
Okay, well, that's why kids do love pizza, and a lot of kids like spaghetti on pizza, strangely enough.
Well, whereas Andrew Little, Barry came in with, "Where did his glasses go?" And then Charlie said, "Dunno." And then Barry said, "Did he lose his glasses?" And Charlie said, probably, and gave him a likability rating of 7 out of 10.
Because he lost his glasses.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't really fair on Andrew Little, because I played one video with his glasses on and then it stopped. So okay, I got another one.
You got some issues there.
Well, they were mainly focused. They thought it was tardy that he was losing his glasses.
See, I thought it was actually sounding reasonably scientific until that moment there.
What about this one? Grant Robertson, the MP for Wellington Central. Charlie said, "Hey, he's the guy we found behind our house." And Barry said, "He was nice." And Charlie said, "Dad, what was he doing behind our house?" And then they gave him 10 out of 10.
Okay, but let's see again. This is getting less and less scientific by the second, because Grant Robertson did come around to your house. And so all of a sudden the kids are going to love him because they've seen him before.
Yeah, that's right.
They've met him. They've got a personal connection with him.
He came in for a beer because he was on his list. The subdivision behind us was on his list to try and get out the vote. Turns out I wasn't even on the roll. But he was pestering around the back of my house. And then I invited him for a beer and he sat on the couch and talked with the kids and had a beer and we watched some cricket. And he marvelled Charlie with his cricket knowledge.
Yeah, but also, didn't you think that when he was pestering around the back, he was the guy that was stealing your pot plants? Because at the time you had that guy who was coming in and stealing your pot plants.
He was, yeah. So I was going after him with a trowel.
Yeah.
I was going to hit him with a trowel. And they said, "Aren't you Wellington Central MP Grant Robertson?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Yes, Matt, I am. Well, I've known you for a long time." And I said, "What are you doing in my backyard?" And he said, "I didn't mean to be. I'm trying to pest those guys to get them out the vote." And he said, "Do you live here?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You're not on the roll at all, are you?" I said, "No, no. What's the roll?"
No.
Anyway, Jonathan Coleman, Charlie said he looks like a dad or something. And Barry said he doesn't look like dad, being me. And then Charlie said, "No, he looks like someone else's dad, you dick."
So essentially what you've actually got here, though, is pretty classic of the general electorate. I mean, I think that what your kids are saying is probably what a lot of other people are saying out there, a lot of people who are 18 and can actually vote.
Well, with Jacinda Ardern, Barry said, "Isn't she the Prime Minister or something?" And then Charlie said, "No, that's Bill English." And Barry said, "With the pizza." And then Charlie said, "We've already talked about him, you idiot." And then Barry said, "Shut up, you butt cheek." And then Barry punched Charlie in the side of the face and we had to stop the survey.
Yeah, that seems to happen a lot in the Heath household. It seems to turn into violence and then you just got to separate them.
But if we bring those things together, if my boys were the sole voters, Grant Robertson would win because he got lost behind our house, followed by Bill English because he made a pizza. Andrew Little would be rolled for losing his glasses. Someone would be hired to make the PM's pizzas. Winston would do well because he's smiley. Jacinda would already have been Prime Minister at some point, and Paula Bennett would be elected. And Mum's cousin, Jonathan Colden, would get the policeman, fireman, and army portfolios. David Seymour and Matera Touré would be stricken from the ballot pre-vote after a fight. So... JJD Wells gets very excited about incredible stories from around the world. One caller on 0800 Hodaki decides if the story coming up right now is incredible or not.
A Pennsylvania man is $870,000 richer after a jury ruled his urologist committed reckless indifference when he removed the wrong testicle
oh.
from his patient. Stephen Haynes' right testicle had been causing him intense pain for 15 years and was about half the size of the 54-year-old's left testicle. But after the surgery, it appeared that the left testicle and cord may actually have been removed instead, which a follow-up visit confirmed. Mr. Haynes is now forced to either live with the painful testicle or undergo treatment that could result in the loss of the remaining testicle, making him reliant on hormone therapy for the rest of his life.
Wow, a couple of points on this, Jerry. Firstly, that's because of the word lefticle. There's no word for the right testicle. So I think that's why they've gone for the lefticle. You generally tends towards a lefticle, do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've had quite a lot of experience in and around this field. Being involved with the ACC and Ewan Grotlane, had testicle... getting fake testicles and putting them back in where other testicles were meant to be. Is that correct?
Well, we tried to go into business with Dan Vittori on this, actually, and when you get the testicle replaced, just for cosmetic reasons, getting a squeaky in there.
That's right.
So you have one and then you can go, whip, whip.
That's
right,
like
a little toy.
Yes.
Or even we were thinking we would extend it out to, you know, to your car. So you go, beep, beep. So you can unlock your car from your testicle.
Well, yeah. I thought there was talk of having the testicle with inscriptions from the Quran written on it.
Well, yeah.
In very, very tiny writing.
Yeah, or whatever you want, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you want on there. My second point on this is the term cord is more disturbing than anything.
Cord?
Well, just when that line, it appeared that the left testicle and cord may actually have been removed. I hate the word cord when it comes to you downstairs.
Good morning, Joe from Glenbrook. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm very, very good, boys. Yourselves?
Good, Joe. Welcome along to the show.
Is it bubbling in the brook this morning?
It is bubbling in the brook, mate. It's always bubbling in the brook.
Love the brook.
Secret head of sounds, man. Secret head of sounds.
Oh, good on you. So, have you got both testes?
Yeah, one's always a little bit larger than the other one, but, you know, I worry about it when I get older.
Lefticle?
No, righty's a bit bigger, actually.
Oh, righty. Are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, same as me, Joe, actually.
Really?
Yeah, same as me. And after I got punched in the downstairs operation by that guy at that event a couple of weeks back, mine's not really come back from that, to be fair.
Oh, look, I deal with that, mate. I did Taekwondo for many years and lots of little stray kicks used to go in between the legs, so I know how you feel, mate.
Oh, I tell you what.
Yeah.
This was damaging, not only physically but mentally, just because I was... There I was having a photo taken with someone, and then the guy just reached around and just square punched me right on the nuts. Really hard too.
Reach around?
You can't prepare. It's where you can't prepare for it. That's the worst.
Yeah. I had my arms up around the two people, and it really I felt a massive betrayal.
That's interesting because I've trained myself that I can suck them in like a turtle's head. Hey, before we ask Glenn whether that story is incredible or not, just gonna say we are smoking them by half a kilometre. We are half a K, 504 metres. I mean, that's a real smokerama. Incredible or not, Joe from the Bubbling Brook.
Can I just confirm, how much was the payout again?
Payout?
870,000.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote it down because really only that amount of money for losing a wrong testicle?
You'd think you would get more, wouldn't you? You'd think that'd be 50
I mean,
mil.
Come on, that's millions, man. That's for me. He's been ripped off, man. Medical misadventures happen, but, I mean, I was expecting a bigger payout. So, you know, look, it's half incredible, but I'm going to vote it down because there wasn't enough cash involved.
Fair enough, Joe. Fair enough.
Yeah, what value a testicle? That's the question.
Well, I don't need mine anymore. I've got two kids already.
The Hauraki Breakfast with Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells.
And we've got ACC and Hauraki head Grotlane and Joe Jury, webmaster general in the studio.
Great work in the weekend, boys, in the ACC coverage of the Lions versus the Māori All Blacks. Oh, my goodness. You guys really, really went for it. You gave it a hundy. And James McConey stepping in as a super sub for the commentary. He was good. He slotted right in there.
Yeah, it was.
He was a bit F-bomby.
Yeah, he just dropped the one F-bomb, but he didn't mean to.
Yeah.
He did apologise to the listeners and to his mother who was listening as well.
Great movie knowledge he's got. You know?
Yeah, and female pop bands.
Yeah, great rendition of C'est La Vie by Bewitched.
Well, I thought he was going to go for C'est La Vie by Robbie Neville. And I was disappointed, but still great, great set of pipes on him.
No, we missed you guys. We did miss you.
Did.
So looking forward to this Saturday. Yeah.
Typical style, we pushed the boat out massively on the Friday. Got on the back foot.
I got on the back foot early.
Brutally hungover on Saturday.
That is our Achilles heel, though, isn't it?
Brutally hungover, actually.
Remember that 10 day tour we went on with the ACC, and we started getting on the back foot 3 days out.
Yeah, that was a problem.
We were dangerously injured by the time we headed out on the road. Fantastic. But next Saturday, that's exciting.
Mm.
Full team.
That's right, the full team. I think there's still some tickets available to that.
Is there? On the 24th?
Yeah. To the King's Arms.
Okay, we'll give away some tickets now.
But I'll tell you,
0800 Hodaki ACC, a special event.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's not tickets to, and you'll be gutted about this ACC and Hodaki here, Grot Lane, is Day Road sold out. Did you hear about that? Sold out within minutes.
You were wanting to get your Big Fish Little Fish cardboard box on, get your clap on to Sandstone, but it's sold out, sucker, so you don't get tickets, you don't get to go. Sucker.
Well, there is a reason that I am massively hungover right now.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why Joe Jury's in here as well.
Why is Joe Jury in the studio with us?
Not just to talk about, because...
Have you guys got a mea culpa?
We've got a mea culpa. Because after the Rotorua, obviously it was a big night Saturday, we kind of jumped in the car. Dylan Cleaver drove us back to Auckland.
Great driver.
Sat in the back smashing beers all the way and listening to Darude over and over.
Dylan would have loved that.
And we decided to stay up and buy some tickets.
Oh, so you got tickets. Did you get tickets for me and Jerry?
I got it. Something to admit. We bought 386 tickets.
You bought 300? Did you buy all the tickets?
We've maxed out our credit cards.
We've maxed out. We couldn't buy the last 14. Someone else has got that. But we bought 386 tickets.
386?
Yeah, you should see the credit card.
How much did that cost?
It's about 18,000 or something.
There's a sandstorm coming.
There's a sandstorm coming from finance. So, yeah.
So you used the work credit card and bought how much? 18,000?
386 tickets. But, hey.
Well, there's good news, though. There's
that's good news because we've got 386 tickets to give away.
Oh, my God.
So the only place you can get tickets is from us.
Yeah, apart from those 14 people that managed to get in before us.
386.
There's going to be some questions.
The interest is high.
There's going to be some questions.
Is this
asked.
Scalping? Like, aren't you going to be up in the news for like being scalpers?
No, because
you're going to give them away.
No, we're going to give them away.
But what does that mean for like everything at Hodaki going forward? We didn't have $18,000. How much was it? $18,000. We don't have that.
The numbers don't matter. The numbers don't matter.
It's a loss. Oh, that's completely for me to sort out this morning. I've got a meeting scheduled at 9:30. It just says HR. Finance.
Oh man.
So great news.
Yeah, well, great news for the listeners. Great news for me. Not so great news for you, ACC and Hodaki here, Grot Lane. Hopefully you're still around.
We've got 386 tickets to give away.
Hopefully you're still around on the 2nd of August.
I'll be around. I don't know about that.
This is great news, but also that could be the end of.
Oh yeah, it's a great. What a way to go out though.
Yeah.
Sell out a gig by yourself.
It'll be one of those radio legends. How did he get fired? Well, he bought $18,000 worth of Darude tickets.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hodaki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code podcast, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.